proud to have switched from liberal to conservative over the years.
The Talk of Northern Nevada. Speak out. 884-9910. FM News Talk.
99.1 and 92.3.
It's 10:06. John Potter, live and local. Hi, Natalie.
Hello.
Hi, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. How are you?
What you think of this weather?
Oh, I'm not ready.
Oh.
I want more fall, no winter.
Well, hey, we were asking for this, remember?
Every time.
So Natalie Tierney is with TIP, Nevada. TIP stands for Trauma Intervention Program. And we have it right here in Northern Nevada. Is this like a nationwide thing? Do all cities have this or just us?
I wish all cities had TIP. There are almost 20 affiliates over the nation. We have a lot in California. We have a southern chapter in southern Nevada that's pretty big also. We have a couple smaller chapters in Portland, Maine, and one in North Carolina. So we're kind of all over the place.
The mission of TIP is to provide on-scene support to survivors of tragedy to ease their suffering and help with their healing and recovery. So you're like the go-between between survivors and emergency responders.
Yes.
And you're 24/7, right?
We are, yep. We'll be there Christmas morning. We'll be there 2 a.m., any daytime, anything.
And you do have a regular job. You work for a construction company.
I do,
in the office of a construction company. Natalie, when is all this ridiculous building going to stop?
Hopefully never.
Well, yes. All right. Natalie's for it. I swear, I just was out of town for a week and came back, and there's a building there.
Yeah. It's Reno, man.
Yeah, it is. And you're from Reno? You spent most of your life in Reno?
Yes.
Oh, that's very cool. Now, police and other emergency responders, they're the ones who call you guys, right? To come to the scene?
They do. They have a very important job. They have a lot of jobs on scenes. Each division, law enforcement, paramedics, fire, they each have a job. And when they need to clear, they need to go to the next emergency, especially paramedics. If someone passes away, they need to go on to the next person and try to help the next person. And as much as they would love to be there with that family and provide support to them, they can't do that because they have to go to the next call. So that's why they call TIP.
And you stay there.
We do.
And help out. How did you personally ever get involved with TIP in the first place?
I actually saw it on social media, and I was raised around a lot of first responders, so that helping nature is just natural to me. So I saw that, and I said, oh, that's a very unique experience to go in on the worst day of someone's life and be there right when it's happening. It's just so impactful that I couldn't not do it.
You know, we all think that we know what to do if something terrible happens. And I think back to when I was hit by a hit-and-run driver at 3 in the morning at the corner of Mill and Kitsky, and the driver took off, big black truck, it just took off, and my car was smashed in. I was knocked out for 10 seconds. I came back to my senses after 10 seconds, but I can't describe how much of absent my brain was. Mm-hmm. I was at a total loss, and I took out my phone. I remember trying to call 911, and I couldn't do it. My brain just stopped me from being able to take my finger and dial 911 on the phone. I was incredibly helpless and panicked, and that was just a non-injury hit and run.
Yeah, and that's so normal for people also, and that's why a TIP volunteer is so essential in these times, because it is a huge crisis and you don't know what to do. You don't do that every single day.
You don't.
So that's where we facilitate a lot of different things. People don't know what they can ask. People don't know if someone passes away that they're allowed to say goodbye most of the time. So we help facilitate a lot of those things.
Yeah, let me tell you, I was just standing in the middle of that intersection like a zombie at Mill and Kitsky at 3 in the morning, and finally some guy from the AMPM mini market came out and said, "Do you want me to call the police?"
You're like, yeah, that's a good
and
idea.
Things like that are life-saving, really are. I mean, how fast do you get to the scene of some tragedy?
We are usually there within 20 to 25 minutes. So police will sometimes even call when they're not even on scene yet, if they're on the way, if it's a big tragedy and their dispatch kind of suggests it. So we are still there usually before, if it's a death, before the body is removed. If it's a fire, we're there when the house is still engulfed in flames. We're there very, very quickly.
Now, it says here on your website that you approach a crime or crash victim to calm him down. What are the ways that the tried and true ways that you can calm down somebody who is in the midst of that terrible occurrence?
Let me tell you what not to do. Don't say calm down.
Don't say calm down.
No, that definitely doesn't work ever. Never in the history of ever has anyone calmed down when being told to calm down.
I would bet it probably works the opposite way, doesn't
exactly.
it?
Exactly. Yeah.
What do you mean, calm down?
Right? My husband's very familiar with that, poor guy. But we just come alongside them and we listen to what they need to say, and we're there with them while they're experiencing this, so that they have more of a partner relationship instead of someone that's trying to tell them what they should be doing. We let them feel what they need to feel, because it's natural to feel many different things in a crisis.
Now, I guess I assumed that emergency responders already do that. Don't emergency responders do that?
A little bit, but they can't do that over the hours that it takes for these calls to kind of run their course. And they also don't necessarily have the skills or the training that we have to listen and how to acknowledge how someone's feeling and validate that feeling.
All right, let's call the phone. Stuart, calling from Lake Tahoe, has comments, I guess, for, oh my gosh, I guess for you, Natalie. Hey, Stuart, I'm glad you called. Good morning.
Oh, hi, John. Yeah, I was just going to give you some insight on this election that's coming up. I'm an Uber driver. I work up here at South Lake Tahoe, and people have a tendency to open up. You know, they just like to talk, or they use being more as a sounding board or whatever. And what I'm seeing, it was as far as a lot of people I drive are from California, especially I would say the last year. I think inflation, I think it hurt so many families. Even people that made like 150 to 100, 150, I think they might change their votes. I think some of the blue dogs are going to change their votes this year. And I think they're going to go with Trump.
Gotcha, Stuart. Thanks for the call. Like I said, when I came out at 9 this morning, when the New York Times this morning prints that the Democrats are worried that they're going to lose the blue-collar workers and the working when the New York Times does a poll and says, yes, it's true, they are going to lose those blue collar. The New York Times said this. Anyway, to seg back to Natalie here, you deal with folks who are traumatized. I think you're probably going to get a lot of business after the election votes are counted. I think you're going to have to go calm down, people.
I might be one of those that need that. Who knows? We'll see.
I need it now, actually. Speaking of trauma, I guess that's why they scheduled you on the Saturday before the election, because it's trauma time.
Yeah, it's convenient. Huh?
I don't mean to minimize real tragedies or anything like this, but what TIP is, TIP Nevada is nonprofit. And another reason you're here is that you're always on the lookout for, well, funding, number one, but also volunteers. And is that how you got involved? Just as a volunteer?
Yes, we're actually all volunteer based. So all of our people that come out at 2 a.m., at 2 p.m., any time of the day or night, they are all volunteers.
To help people directly. How gratifying that must be. What kind of person are you looking for to be a volunteer for TIP Nevada?
Someone who is compassionate, reliable is definitely a big one. We actually have a TIP teen program. So anyone 16 or older can be a volunteer. We have had some amazing young students that have came alongside us and volunteered with us and really care about their community and really care about the people in their community.
How many tragic things have you been called out to yourself?
Oh, I haven't counted, but at least maybe 50 to 100.
Wow. Can you tell us the story of one or two of them that happened here?
Yeah, I've had What I really love about TIP is we are there for the everyday tragedies. So yes, we have responded to the Reno Air Race crashes, all three of them. We have responded to the Sparks Middle School shooting, but what we also respond to is the everyday tragedy. So I was on a call where an older woman had lost her husband of 50 years. They had just gone to bed the night before. She woke up at 5 o'clock, like she always did, turned over, and he had passed away in his sleep. So she didn't have any family in the immediate area. They had to come from over the hill from Sacramento. So I was there with her while she was waiting for family, so she wasn't alone. I could help explain the process to her. I was able to facilitate her saying goodbye to her husband in her home one last time. And that's one of the greatest honors that we really have as TIP volunteers, is to be there for someone on the worst day of their life and just try to make it a little bit better.
God bless you. What is training like for volunteers? Say somebody hears what you're talking about and thinking, wow, this is a great do-good job. I would like to do this. What's the training like for just anybody out there?
It's actually a pretty intensive training. It's almost 40 hours over a two-week period. So our first week is all about emotional first aid, what to say, what not to say, how is the survivor feeling? We go into that pretty in depth. And then our next week is learning a lot of the process about what law enforcement does, what the medical examiner does, and some street smarts so that people are safe.
Well, once again, TIP, how do they find you online? Just TIP Nevada?
TIPNNV.org.
Or just Google TIP Nevada?
And yep.
It's right there.
Yes.
All right. Anything else?
We have a training academy coming up on November 7th.
That's coming up real soon.
It is. I'm excited.
So if you folks want to get in on this training academy and be a volunteer and mentally save people through this organization, you can do it by going to the website. Is there a place to reserve on the website?
There is. You go to tipnnv.org and it says volunteer, and you just click the volunteer button and sign up.
Tipnnv.org.
Yes.
All right. It's nonprofit.
Yes, it is.
Very cool. All right. We'll keep building those buildings. And it was a pleasure talking with you.
You as well. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that's very interesting stuff. I didn't know it was here. I really did not know. And I'm hoping a lot of people realize the good works you do out there and how they can join in. Natalie Tierney from TIP Nevada. Thanks, Natalie, for coming out.
Thank
a lot of trauma coming up next Tuesday. So
hopefully not very, for us.
Very timely. All right. John Potter, live and local, open topic now, 884-9910. You can call up like the last gentleman just did and talk about voting, the election. So that's what's on everybody's mind, of course. So we can take a couple of calls right now on that, 884-9910. On 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1019.
FM Talk on 92.3 FM in Smith and Mason Valley. 99.1 FM Talk for Reno, Tahoe, and all of Northern Nevada.
So last night I wore something from 10 years ago and it still fit. It was a pair of socks, but still my reading glasses, they still fit too. So there. Folks, Election Day coverage election night here on 99.1 and 92.3 FM Talk. Craig, tell us what the stations have planned for the big night.
Well, from 6 to 9 p.m., we will do live Fox News coverage as well as local coverage with Craig Swope and Jerry Evans being our local hosts. So we have some great sponsors for it, and I'll get a list of those together, and we'll talk about them throughout the rest of the show. But, yeah, looking forward to it. It's going to be personally, I can't wait until 9:01 p.m. on Tuesday night when the station semi goes back to normal without all the political ads.
It's actually Election Day. Like I said earlier, it's Election Day marks the beginning of the election count, the vote counting season.
Yeah, it seems like we'll get like a 1 or 2 weeks off, and then they'll start on the midterms.
Right, exactly that. But I wonder how many days it's going to take for like even Washoe County to have the final vote with all the mail-in ballots. And I hear they don't count them till this day, or they could count them 3 days after they were cast on Election Day. And who knows, unless it's a landslide, in which case, if it's a landslide either way, I am going to tune in to this station to hear what Mr. Jerry Evans is going to say. That is that is reason to turn off the TV and listen to that firework show, shall I say, on election night. Okay, well, that's a good service. Really is. And we're going to have local coverage, too. If you're stuck in a car, if you're driving, not near a television, well, why should TV be your first choice? Radio should be your first choice. Thank you, Craig. Election night is a night that remind us there are two Americas, the America that works and the America that doesn't, the America that contributes and the America that doesn't. Folks, it is not, I say this all the time, it's not the haves and the have-nots. It's the do's and the don'ts. Some people do their duty as Americans, obey the law, and support themselves and contribute to society. And others don't. That is the divide in America. It's not about income inequality. It's about civic irresponsibility. It's about a political party that preaches hatred, greed, and victimization in order to win elective office. It's about a political party that loves power more than it loves its country. It's truth, and it's about time somebody said it. The politics of envy was on proud display, I think it was last week, when the vice president said that she would pledge her term, if elected, to fighting, quote, income inequality, noting that some people make more than other people, that some people have higher incomes than others. And she says that's just not right. That is the rationale of thievery. The other guy has it. You want it. Kamala will take it for you. It's the electoral philosophy that is destroying America, and it conceals a fundamental deviation from American values and common sense. It ends up not being a benefit to the people who support it, but a betrayal. The Democrats have not empowered their followers. They've enslaved them in a culture of dependence and entitlement, of victimhood and anger instead of ability and hope. Now, this sounds highfalutin for me to just be talking. I actually wrote this on my Google Keep last night, and I write differently than the way I talk. So that's why I'm sounding so, I know it's not me. But the vice president's premise that you reduce income inequality by harming the successful seeks to change the law of choices and consequences, and it seeks to deny the successful the rewards of their choices and hard work and spare the unsuccessful the consequences of their choices. Because by and large, where we are in society as a result of different choices we made leading to different consequences. Those who choose wisely and responsibly have a far greater likelihood of success, while those who choose foolishly and irresponsibly have a far greater likelihood of failure. And success and failure can dictate personal and family income. You choose to drop out of high school or skip a tech school, an internship, or skip college, you're apt to have a different outcome than somebody who gets a diploma and pushes on with education. You have your children out of wedlock, and life is apt to take one course. You have them in wedlock, and life will take you another course. Most often in life, our destination is determined by the course we take. My doctor, for example, makes far, far more than I do. My plumber makes far more an hour than I ever did. There's significant income inequality between us, as Kamala says, but our lives had an inequality of outcome from choices. Our lives have also had an inequality of effort. They made a choice. I made a choice. And our choices led us to different outcomes. Their outcomes pay a lot better than mine. Does that mean my doctor cheated? And Kamala Harris needs to take away his wealth? No, it means we're both free men. And in a free society, free choices will lead to different outcomes. It's not inequality Kamala Harris will take away. It's freedom, the freedom to succeed and the freedom to fail. But the pursuit of happiness means a whole lot less when you face the punishing hand of government if your pursuit brings you more money and happiness than the other guy. Taint fair. All right, we're going to... Sorry, step off my podium here. See, once I get starting writing, I just don't stop. And I have pages more of that claptrap, but I'm going to save you from it right now. We're going to go to Fox News. And up next, we're going to be talking to a candidate, Diana Sandy, Republican running for the Nevada Assembly District 25, which is pretty much West Reno, all the way past Mogul. Let me think. It's east to Longley, up to North McCarran, down south to Lakeside Drive, and Huffaker and Holcomb. Not exact to those streets. These districting maps are ridiculous. And District 25 got changed 2 years ago, but this is a big part of Reno right there. So we're going to talk to possibly your Assembly District 25 candidate on the Republican side up next after Fox News. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk, time 10:30.
This is where Nevada comes to hear and talk about the news.
Scares me. It really scares me.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 News Talk. Truth.
Ain't it the truth? hey, Diana, how are you?
Well, mijo, it's Diana. See?
Is it? I don't even know how to pronounce your last name.
Everyone
right
does it.
Diana.
Diana.
Last name, is it pronounced Sandy?
Well, that's what my husband says, so I say okay. So, yes, Sandy.
What is it really?
No, it is. In Spanish, we would say Sande, but it's, you know, it's his name, so it's Sandy.
Well, yeah, you were born in Puerto Rico.
I was.
And you've been in Reno for many, many, many years. Diane.
You can call me D.
D?
If it's easier to remember.
It probably is, yeah. Okay, D is a Republican running for the Nevada Assembly District 25. And like I said earlier, it's pretty much West Reno. It's a weird frickin' map.
It is.
Doesn't make any sense.
Because it was chopped up, right?
Well, why can't it just be a square or a rectangle? I don't understand. Because people don't
count. The math doesn't count when you're doing the people. They have to go to where they get the same number of people per district.
I don't care about that.
I know you don't.
Voters don't know what district they're in when you fool around with the maps like that, and they just changed
right.
it 2 years
ago. And they just changed it, really, because Jill Tolles held this seat for some time, and, you know, Raggio, Sandoval. So it was different, you know, when Jill was in office, when she was the assemblywoman. But, of course, they changed it and they chopped it up in order to remove a percentage of the Republicans to make the district lean Democrat.
Well, that shouldn't even be a consideration. But anyway, District 25 is now represented by Democrat Selena LaRue Hatch. Challenger D here is Latina, mother. You are a pro businesswoman,
yes,
working in higher education.
I know. Isn't that weird?
What do you do?
I just bring all different things to
and
the
table.
And
you had a sales career.
I did for quite some time. My
selling,
background.
And you worked for television.
I did. Pappas Telecasting, so I worked in Spanish language and English language.
The Univision station, and you also had a station that did the news,
yep,
for a while.
Azteca,
local news.
Azteca America.
Folks, do you remember that local news effort from Meadowood Mall? And lasted for a couple of years, one
right.
or two.
That was me. I was there.
That was you.
My daughter would have been, oh my gosh, my oldest, who's now 25, would have been like 7 or 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I was a single mom back then. She'd be with me late nights in the office because, you know, I was the only one bringing, you know, food to the table. So
they got to be so proud, your family, of you.
I think so. I don't know. No, I think they are. They've been super supportive. She's adorable. She actually did a little video, 1 minute video about me, you know, for the campaign. And And it's just been like all of it together, this experience of running and having the support of my family, my husband, you know, his family, my little one who's 9, you know, just all of them. It's been super rewarding.
You came to the U.S. at 17 years old.
17.
You and our degree in psychology, you work in education, and you're a Republican.
So let's back the truck up a little bit. So I grew up in Latin America. My dad worked for Coca-Cola, and we moved every 2 years. So I've always spoken both English and Spanish. It was important for them, for my parents, that we were all at least bilingual. I actually speak 3 languages. But growing up in Latin America, I lived in a lot of different countries, some of which were under socialist regime. One of them had a dictatorship for 30 years, and we arrived there 2 years after. And I had an incident with a very high-ranking general that was driving, and we were crossing the road, my friends and I, and he kind of hit the gas like he was going to hit us, and we made it to the other side, and we kind of lifted our hands up like, hey, what are you doing? And we didn't know it was, obviously, we didn't know he was a high-ranking general. So when he gets out of the car to yell at us, we then realize, holy crap, we're in trouble. And he ended up pulling out a gun and putting it to my head. Because he could. And then he realized, you know, one of my friends, we were all my friends that were with me were diplomats. And so they did a phenomenal job of really diffusing that situation. But one of them in particular, who was my boyfriend at the time, you know, kind of was saying, hey, my dad works for this department of the U.S. government. You know, if it's okay, I'm going to reach into my pocket and show you my ID so you know that I am who I say I am. But you really don't want a problem with the U.S. government over this silly girl. And so, you know, long story short, in that moment, two things. I realized that I would run for office one day because I never wanted to feel voiceless again. But I also really knew that I was a Republican because I really hate big government. So
saw the evils of socialistic
communism, socialism. Just, you know, I don't have to read about it. I've lived it. And so that was my last semester of high school. I came back to the U.S. and then, you know, I got my driver's license and then the little box where you pick your party, it was like Republican. And it was easy, you know, it was easy to pick. And, you know, even though there's been kind of ups and down and we all know with the party, I've always known I was a Republican because fundamentally I look at policy from where is the government going too far? Right? Where is the government trying to sneak in where it doesn't belong? So here I am.
What do you want to do for District 25, Assembly District 25, much of West Reno?
That's like asking me what I want for Christmas.
If you win the seat, what are your priorities for being in the Assembly?
I talk a lot about mental health. It's a big one for me. You know, I work in mental health. If I wasn't running, I really wanted to go back, you know, to get a PhD in social psychology. I really look at everything and I see that mental health is connected to our education, to our elderly, to our veterans. And the solution is not easy. It's not like I can come to the table and say, this is exactly what we need for mental health. But I do know that we need to start talking about what we do need for mental health. But from the space of education, special education especially, that is a place that hasn't been given enough attention, enough resources. And so I want to really help in that space as it relates to mental health. And then small business. I talk about small business a lot. My husband owns a small business. I've seen kind of the challenges of starting a small business. Working in sales, I was a 1099 employee. And I honestly believe that once you own a business or you're a 1099 employee and you have to pay taxes, you're like Republican. But just making it easier for businesses to start, to operate, kind of all of the nonsense and redundant policies that are in there need to go away.
Regulations.
Yes. Over-regulation. It's ridiculous. All of these different, and there's so many industries that face that. But then in the same vein, we can talk about, you know, the access to care, right? Medical and the doctors, not having enough doctors in the state. And why is that? Well, getting them licensed in the state of Nevada is also a big hurdle, right? So looking at those ways to make it easier.
Same thing with why isn't there more housing?
Exactly.
Well, it's they don't make it easy on builders. They really
don't.
Nobody talks about
red
that.
Tape.
But the regulations and the red tape. Anyway, have you run for public office before?
I have not, but I knew I would. But what I have done a lot of is, in the space of where I work in public health, I've done a lot of outreach in the community. So I've always been in the community, boots on the ground, you know, whether it's with, you know, educating the community on sex education or, you know, HIV and all the different kind of veins of what I've done in public health. But also when I first arrived here, I was heavily involved with, back then, the Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. And, you know, now we don't have one, but I was very involved with the businesses, with the business side of two sides of the coin, right? Because we look at the population in Nevada and 30% is Latino, right? And I was working in sales back then. And so it was also talking to the, you know, Anglo community about, hey, you're leaving 30 cents on the table of every dollar. Don't you want to speak to the Latino community? Well, I'm the person that can help you speak to them, mm-hmm. right? Because I speak both languages. So I did a lot of that, you know, work for many years at the beginning. So hopefully we get a Latino chamber back.
Isn't your opponent Hispanic or Latino?
That's funny. I don't think so. I think maybe the name is misleading, but I'm pretty sure she's not. But she does try to speak Spanish, which kudos to her. But yes,
well,
I'm fluent. It's my first language.
Okay. Well, she has a, it seems Latina name to me.
Selena?
Selena LaRue Hatch.
Maybe. Maybe you're thinking of Selena, the Mexican singer.
Paint the difference between you and your opponent.
Oh my goodness, so many.
I'm sure you looked at her record.
Oh, yes. You know, I mean, we can just go from how liberal, you know, she is. And it's interesting because one of the things that she talks about is saying that she's actually voted against her party. And, you know, and so that's kind of one of the things she came out to say to kind
That's a Jackie Rosen
line. To kind of paint.
Jackie Rosen says that. Yeah. And
so,
then you look at the record and you think, no.
Well, because it wasn't liberal enough, right? So, yeah, you went against your party. You're like, I want more. But truly the biggest difference between my opponent and I is I really do want to serve the people of the district, not the party. Ironically, a lot of the hit pieces on me were like, I'm a puppet for, I think, Las Vegas. And I'm like, well, that's interesting. But I've actually been in the community. I've actually talked to different people in the community. You know, I didn't just go to work every day for the last 22 years or 21 years and go home. I've given back. I've raised money for, you know, Big Brothers Big Sisters. I've served on different boards. And so I bring to the table a lot of experience and expertise in communications, especially in psychology and public health. And I'm Hispanic, so I'm able to represent a community that really hasn't been represented in a long time. And when we even look at the top of the ticket of what's happening with the Latino population and this kind of movement to the Republican Party, that's also what I'm going to do here in this district for the Latinos that are a part of this district that currently identify as Democrat. But I've always like thought, like, why? You know, when I think of the values of the Latinos, like who we are as a culture, it more closely aligns with the Republican Party, right?
Deanna Sandy is running for Nevada Assembly, District 25. She is the Republican candidate. Deanna Sandy. Well, we need more Republicans like you for sure. It was an honor getting to see you. Seem very approachable. And if you win the seat, I'm sure you'll be that way with your constituents.
That's the goal. I actually talk about that often. It's, you know, hopefully we'll know that I've won on Tuesday. But one of the things that I think should be different from our elected officials is that we shouldn't just see them when they're running.
Mm-hmm.
We should see them in the community, you know, talking to them.
Why is it election week? That's when we see
them. And I don't want to do that. I'm actually planning events already as if I'm winning because I want to stay connected to the community. I want to hear from them because once the session starts, right, we're sequestered. And then we don't talk to anyone. And so I want to stay connected and hear the stories and bring it back to the legislature.
Where can people find out more about you? You have a website?
Yep.
Sure,
my website is Sandy, S-A-N-D-E, for Nevada, F-O-R, and spelling out Nevada.com.
Honored to meet you, Deanna. Thank you
Likewise.
So much. Good luck with the election.
Thank you so much.
All right. John Potter, live and local. Open topics now, 884-9910. If you have something to say, I bet it's about the election, huh? 884-9910 on 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk, FM News Talk Time, 1048.
99.1 FM Talk.
And 92.3 FM.
This is Talk Radio. The original social media.
Hey, friends. Welcome back. Welcome back. Thanks for tuning in. I'm John Potter. This is All Live and Local. You'll never guess who our next guest is going to be after Fox News at 11 o'clock. I'll let you think. Who do you think it will be?
I have a guess, but I'm also looking at the calendar, too. So. I know well, who's next.
Listen, we should be paying the guy a salary. He's on again. Greg Kidd, he is a sponsor. But again, I don't treat these like infomercials, and we do ask some pretty tough stuff, and the callers do too. Callers really do. Greg Kidd for Congress, District 2. He's running against Amade, and he's coming up after the 11 o'clock news. Yes, Craig?
I was going to say, speaking of sponsors, our election night coverage, starting at 6 p.m. on Tuesday night, going till 9 p.m., maybe later, depending on what Mr. Evans decides to do at that time. We have six sponsors for the event so far. Van Rensselaer Jewelers, LT Automotive, Carson Home Furnishings, Master Service Plumbing, Hajoka Minden, and Advanced Dentistry by Design. And there is still room for people to get their business on Tuesday night's coverage. So contact Evans Broadcast Company Monday morning, bright and early, 8:30 a.m., 884-8000. And we'll get you to a salesperson. We'll get you taken care of if you don't already have one.
We might be the only ones who do some real good local election coverage, because the local TV is trimming it more and more. Don't know if the other station's going to do anything, but we for sure are going to be doing election night coverage that is not just Fox News National on this radio station, but also local with Craig and Mr. Evans.
Yeah, Craig Swope and Mr. Evans. And I'll be here running the board for him, so I will be in studio as well. But yeah, it's gonna be a hoot. We're starting right after the 6 o'clock news at 6:06 p.m. going into Fox their stuff, and then breaking away for Jerry and Craig when they have stuff that they want to get in. So
yeah. I think we just might have the most local election coverage, and it's from Nevadans.
Exactly.
Listen, local TV news viewers, they want people who know their town inside and out, and they watch people who have the contacts to get the story first, not the newcomers who come from California and use our Reno stations as stepping stones to get a job in a bigger market. You know, the guy I replaced in the morning at Channel 2, he couldn't wait to leave Reno. And a lot of them are like that. That's why they're only here for 2 or 3 years. And listen, I don't think they really know Nevada enough. And I always know I would never leave here, Nevada, spend most of my life in it. I love this town. I love this county. I love this state. And I wish all the TV stations well, but good, solid veteran pros who work hard because they want our city to be better, make better newscasts, and they make better election coverage. And that comes through the screen, and it also comes through the radio speaker. I mean, Craig Swope, how many years has he been in Nevada? I want to say he's an old man. Is it like 45?
I would say, yes. He was here for a while, then he was gone, then he came back. But he's the voice of the station you hear 24 hours a day
in the morning,
all day round the clock, 24/7, because he does our weather well
on the other stations.
On all six of our properties. Yes,
he's a lot like me, and he's a lot like so many other folks out there. We left Nevada but
came back.
So many of us came back.
Yeah. I did the same thing. I interned in what's now the Reno Town Mall at a radio station in 1976. Then I stayed in radio and TV here for the longest time. Then I moved to Denver for a little while. And 4 years later, I was back here in Reno. I just love it. I love the area.
Yeah,
I love the people. And, you know, I work with make it worth working here.
Well, except for this one guy.
No, even that one guy is tolerable.
Craig and I get along.
Oh,
but
yeah.
I got to say, you folks who have never left Reno or Northern Nevada, you don't know how lucky and how thankful you should be. Listen, us foolish radio young people, we think the bigger the city, the bigger the money. No, it's no good. It's no good. I so admire the people who picked this town and stayed here and did not leave. That was my big mistake. Well, I left Reno in 82, and I should have never left.
Yeah.
The big guy just, it's not, the grass isn't greener on the other side.
No. But I got to say, I did have, when I worked at Channel 2, our news director, he actually, when I was at Channel 21 and 11, he was actually an intern for our news department over at 21. And then when I went over to Channel 2, I was surprised, I was pleasantly surprised that he was our news director at Channel 2. And I was like, wow, that's, you know, he decided to stay.
Yeah, well. He's not there anymore, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, no.
I wish I had him as a news director. All right, we're going to break for Fox News. And Greg Kidd, do you have any questions for Greg Kidd? 884-9910, number to call. I'm John Potter, live and local, 99.1, 92.3 FM Talk.